The sermon this morning is mostly on the text of the gospel reading from Luke chapter 13, but also thoughts of it are drawn from a reading from Ezekiel 33. To start, I reread verse 4 and 5 of Luke 13. Were those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others who lived in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You can follow along on the light purple half sheet of the outline of the sermon if you'd like. Jesus is teaching in the temple area and during Holy Week. And something happened that the people wanted to bring to Jesus' attention, to get feedback from him, see what he would say. It was current events. It says there in verse 1 of Luke 13, at that time they told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. This was a man-made disaster. This was a cruelty that they were talking about, that they noted to Jesus. So the Galileans were Jews up from the area of the Lake of Galilee, kind of the old northern tribe area. And when would it happen that Pilate might kill them and mix their blood with their sacrifices? It would be when they were in Jerusalem offering sacrifices. That's the only type of situation where this could take place. So this is the same Pilate who was judged, or who was the judge of Jesus' trial. And at some time then, there were Galilean Jews who were in Jerusalem for a festival, very likely a Passover festival, because at that time, for a Passover festival, the layperson, not just the priest or the Levite, but for the Passover, the layperson helped with the sacrifice. And so at the Passover, the Jews who were making their sacrifices would be very close to where everything was happening. So it's, we don't know for certain, but it's likely it was a Passover. And at this big, high festival, somehow Pilate came in and killed them. And killed them in such a way so that even the blood of the lambs and the young goats used at the Passover festival was mixed in right there. So this is a very high festival. And this is a slaughter during a high festival. We don't have anything so comparable to that. Although we could say what is one of our most holy and highest things that we do as Christians is take the Lord's Supper, the Lord's body and blood. And doesn't that happen sometimes? When somebody comes in during a church service and kills people. And that's what happened here. It was during a high festival at the temple, and the government came in and killed them during the sacrifice. So it was outrageous. It was a tragedy. It was offensive. Everything. And Jesus uses this to teach them. And he says here, well, were these Galilean Jews worse sinners? Were they worse? Why did this happen to them than other Galileans? Why did it happen? And Jesus says, they're not worse. But unless you repent, the same will happen to you. And that's shortened, paraphrased what he said. He brings this case up of this man-made tragedy, this slaughter, this unjust thing that happened. And it happened to these people here. And Jesus says, so are they worse than others? And Jesus says, no. But unless you repent, the same will happen to you. And then he brings in another case. And this case is not a man-made disaster or tragedy or injustice, but this is a natural event, we might say it, we call it. This is just something that happened. This tower fell upon this group of people while they're in Jerusalem. So Jesus says, so because that tower fell on them, do you think it's their worse? Why did it happen to them? Human minds think that way, don't we? We want to know why it happened. And Jesus brings it up in these two questions. But he doesn't answer his own question that they're probably all thinking or wondering about. He says, don't think that they're worse or not, but think about your own life in God. There's a lot of things that are going on around the world. We have Ukraine. We have natural disasters in the U.S. by which we're helping people as we can. And other things happen. There's earthquakes that happen and tsunamis and so many things. Sometimes it's people's fault. Sometimes it's people's meanness. Sometimes our technology breaks down, a nuclear power plant melts down. And sometimes it's a force we don't control. So whether it's man-made, man-done, humans have done it, or whether it's a force more than us, in both cases, Jesus says, don't think of it in terms of who is worse and who is better. But unless you repent, the same will happen to you. We like to figure out why this happens so I can stop it, so that I can have some power, or maybe I can blame somebody. But Jesus doesn't want us to think in those terms. Jesus wants to think in terms of our relationship with God and looking to Him for life. Sometimes when we think or others think, why did that happen to that person? Sometimes we think, well, I must be better, or that person was worse, or whatever. The truth of the matter is that the scriptures are very clear that God's wrath is against all sin, against all people. Did you hear that reading? Did you listen closely to that reading from Ezekiel? He told Ezekiel, if they're wicked people and you don't tell them their wickedness, their blood is on you. God's people must be honest and clear about human sin. And if we don't warn one another, if we don't tell each other, and if the preacher doesn't, God blames us because we knew and we didn't warn. On the back side of that handout, that point two, the reality of God's wrath against all people, I just have a quote from Romans 3. I'm going to read it. And you can listen or you can read, whatever is best for you. And I quote from Romans 3, verse 9 and going, Paul wrote, what then? Are we Jews any better off? No, not all. For we have already charged that all, both Jews and Greeks, are under sin, as it is written. And in this section here, he quotes a number of Old Testament passages. And I didn't even put them all. He has more than this. But Paul quotes, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. And then I skip to verse 19, where Paul concludes, now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped, and that the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. No one, no person can stand before God and his or her own good works. Think about it carefully. As soon as we try to find blame, why did that happen to that person and not this person? Why did it happen to me and not that person? All of a sudden, we're doing some measurements about who's better and about who's worse. And all of a sudden, we're talking in words of the law. But the law won't, God's law won't let us talk like that. God's law says we're all condemned and we're all sinners. If you are trying to find who is worse and who is better and why it happened to this person and not that person, then you're saying, I can discern God's law, who is better and worse, when it clearly all are sinners. The law doesn't allow us to do that. Somehow then we're thinking up our own laws and our own measurements, not God's. This is why Jesus says, unless you repent, this will happen to you also. Because if you start saying who's worse and who's better, you've missed the point. The point is all are sinners. And the point is we all deserve that. How great is God's mercy on us that we live in a country where that isn't happening like what's in Ukraine? It's not because we're better or worse before God. We're all sinners. And really the question is, if we are so sinful, then why doesn't God just wipe us all out now? We're all sinners before him. His wrath is real and great against sin. So why doesn't he carry that out? Well, that is the reality of God's grace. There is a reality of wrath that Scripture is very clear about, and Jesus is very clear about, and there is a reality of God's grace and mercy. Why doesn't God want just kill and wipe out everything now? Is because he wants to save. He truly wants to save. I quoted then again there from Ezekiel 33, and you, son of man, say to the house of Israel, thus you have said, surely our transgressions and our sins are upon us, and we rot away because of them. How then can we live? Say to them, as I live, declares the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn back from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? God doesn't want to punish. The punishment is deserved. But he would wish that he wants, he desires, he has compassion that people would believe in him and have life. God offers life. He offers forgiveness. And whoever would refuse that is just refusing life and staying in the death and staying in the punishment. That's not what God wants for people. He wants them to live and believe. God's desire is not the death for the sinner, but God desires for people to look to him for life. Whatever is the disaster that happens, human-made or natural causes, whatever one might say it is. God wants us to look to him for life. God wants us to realize, I deserve that to happen to me. Or, that's an awful thing. Who will save me? We look to God. However it moves us to look to God, that's God's purpose. And we know in our lives, it's not always this big public disaster, but sometimes it's individual. Sometimes it's in our own lives. And then sometimes we might say, but that person is so good, why did that person happen to that person? Or that person is so bad, why does it not happen to that person? And Jesus is teaching us, he says, don't measure there. Just look at your own life, repent. And if they're suffering, that's your neighbor, help them. The judging is for Jesus. The reasons for the judging is for Jesus. But it is clear in Scripture that God wants to use every situation to turn and look to him for help, for life. Really, really think about it. How ridiculous it is for people not to turn to God. We are all going to suffer and die. This life fades away. We all will get sick. We will all have setbacks. So why would we not turn to life in God, in Christ Jesus? It's a free gift. He doesn't even measure us. He just says, here is my son. You are forgiven. Don't refuse him. Believe and live. Finally, as I was thinking in this passage and Jesus teaching for us, this passage from Peter came to mind. I have it printed there from 2 Peter chapter 3. Peter wrote, "But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance." Peter is saying the same thing that God said to Ezekiel to say to the people. He does not wish the wicked to die, but to turn and repent. And Peter says, the Lord is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. There will be a day of judgment, but God is slow in bringing that day so that many would repent. And if you look at that insert, I have a double line under Peter. And that's to remind myself partly. Think of Peter himself. Peter denied Jesus 3 times publicly. He fell away from following Jesus. He denied Jesus. He cursed Jesus, even the text says. And then Jesus, after he rises from the dead, as recorded in John, forgives Peter, calls him to follow him 3 times over, calls him, "Do you love me?" 3 times over. And 3 times over, Jesus says to Peter, "Feed my lambs, feed my sheep." In these words, it seems to me, Peter is remembering that. Peter is remembering how patient the Lord was with him. And the Lord did not ascend into heaven until he called Peter to follow him again, 3 times. And Peter is saying to his readers, to us, the Lord is patient. He wants to forgive. He calls us. We pray. Dear Lord Jesus Christ, you are holy and righteous, and we are sinners, and help us to not measure our works against anyone, but rather let us depend upon you and what you have done for us, and let us help those in need. Lord Jesus, help us to know your patience, your grace, your forgiveness, and let that fill our minds and hearts, and also be able to share with others. And we ask you, Heavenly Father, to give your Holy Spirit to many people so that many would come to faith and believe in Jesus. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.